Yo, just relax. Take it easy. No matter what come on, I'm still getting mine.
Still.
Y'all know the name.
Right now you're tuned in to Take It Personal.
What you waiting for?
Got a style, I'm mad, I'm like.
Oh my God,
Take it personal. Yo, this is DJ Premier, Take It Personal Radio. Y'all always doing the damn thing, and y'all need to listen up.
Alright, yo, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you motherfuckers are tuned in, because right now, if you don't know what the fuck is about to go on, bitch, this is Take It Personal, with my boy Full of Flavor, Kevlar, A-Aaron, Roger the Announcer, and DJ 360 with his thinking ass.
Take it personal.
Y'all, I'm getting ready to
put y'all up on something, man. Yo, what's up? It's Eric Selman, the Green Knight Bandit, representing the EPMD. Here on Take It Personal Radio. This the truth.
Yeah, y'all.
Checking out the Take It Personal Radio show.
Yeah, it's your boy Foul Munch. You already know what it is.
Right now you're checking out the Take It Personal show.
Nothing but the real hip-hop.
The revolution is here.
No doubt. Y'all care anymore about this hip-hop, man?
Yo, this is KRS-One.
Check it out. This is Marco Polo.
Yo, check this out. It's the Soul Brother, number one, Pete Rock.
Y'all know the name.
Right now you're tuned in to Take It Personal. Basically, they know what the fuck they're doing, and you don't. So pay attention. You might learn something.
Here's our exclusive interview with Razzcast, only here on Take It Personal Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Razzy Kazzy. What's up, Razzcast?
Oh, man, happy to be here, man. Peace. How's everybody?
Chilling.
Good, man. Thanks for stopping by. I know we're pressed for time, so I want to get right into it. This show that we've been doing, it's all about collabos, and I was telling you earlier, if there's one person that stands out as such a crazy catalog of collabos, it's definitely you, whether it's with your stuff with Golden State, Three Car Molly, Plastic Surgery, to the Horseman Project, to... You know, even the stuff that you don't help the Skelter and Razzcast, and Cannabis, excuse me, it's an endless list. I mean, Riot, we can go on and on and on. And I think one of those that stood out to me is probably one of the greatest is Come With It. So I want to start there, because while not everybody was familiar with Patchwork, Peace to D, not everybody had, like, you know, Won't Catch Me Running, Remain Anonymous. A lot of people heard you first off the Street Fighter soundtrack, which was all Priority
right.
Records. With that said, take us to that recording, that whole, I mean, did you know who you were going to be rhyming with at that point? Did you know Saphir and what was going to happen with you guys later on with Golden State Warrior? And did you know what kind of response you're going to get with that, possibly one of the greatest verses of all time on a soundtrack?
Thanks, man. First of all, I'm grateful for, you know, appreciate, you know, just the good words, but, nah, man, we was like young and hungry, to be honest. Ahmad already had a gold record, so Ahmad was almost considered like, you know, like pop, but he's a hip hop head, so he was at the wake up show airing people out. And so that was the funny thing. A lot of other West Coast commercial artists wouldn't even show up to, like, you know, basically that was gladiator school, so they were too afraid to get destroyed. Ahmad was in there holding his own. So, you know, cheers and kudos to him. He made people respect it. Like, he had a hit record and was still barring cats out.
Back in the day, when I was just a little gigolo, I looked up to my bigger bro, begged if I could kick it. So when he went out with girls, I could go tagging along, nagging. If she had a sis, maybe could mac a baby hood rat. Y'all remember way back then, when it was 1985, all the way live. I think I was about 10, one of those happy little fools singing the blues that be always trying to bag with the shag and karate shit. Saying, yo mama black, his mama this, his mama that. Then he get mad and want to scrap. We stay mad about 10 minutes, then it's like back on the bike to play hide and go get it with the younger souls by the bungalows.
I had a rapport with Ahmad just off of that. And I'd seen Saphir at, he opened up for Nas. Just had an amazing show. And this is before I even, you know, I had a cassette tape with, like, my first demo. And so I went up to Saphir, gave him my demo tape. No, it wasn't with Nas. His show was with KRS-One. Because I remember I gave both of them a cassette. My demo, I had like three songs on a cassette. And, you know, I was just like, man, you really dope. And I'm sure he threw it in the trash. And I'm sure KRS-One threw it in the trash. And then, you know, there's a million people with their tape. So it, fast forward whatever months, man. It wasn't even like years later. It was just months later. And, you know, we were gaining some traction. Sway and Tech just, you know, really always supported me and treated me like big brothers and tried to cultivate my journey. And they gave me that opportunity and got us in the studio. And I was there for, I feel like I was there for some of Vermont's, and then I laid mine. And then Sapir laid his, but I wasn't there for his. And then, you know, I heard the record and I was like, wow, this came out, you know, kind of dope. And then they were like, you know, you're shooting a video. And then it was funny, you know, seeing Sapir, like, you? And I was like, yeah, bro, you know, whatever. And it was awesome. And, you know, they, like, you know, the rest is what they call history, man, you know.
It was amazing. I mean, to me, that was probably what started the whole wave, if you will. But Ahmad took so many people by surprise because, like, he had huge success, like you said, back in the day. But he was lyrically killing cats on that record. I mean, all you guys did your thing. But I think that, like, was like, whoa, I was taken aback by that.
No, he was a commercial cat who definitely knew what he was doing.
A lot of dudes did not expect to hear that from Ahmad.
No, not from Ahmad.
He was straight up.
But he was dope.
I'm the first batter up them all. Well, it's the nigga back, conk, but lock. Cause the vibe keeps me boxed and funk. Makes it rock to the side, gave it all I had. Just to have what I got, niggas trying to be bad. And they mad cause they not gonna defeat the rapper who got three ways to sack her. Quarterback and slaughter whack MCs with ease. These nuts what you get and a busted lips. What you have when you come at me with buster shit.
So when you, obviously you and Sapir, you worked together on that record. At what point did you guys say, you know what, we have good chemistry, let's try to do some more stuff together?
We developed a rapport through that situation. And me and Exhibit had our own different rapport. And there's actually, somebody put it up online. I have like a clip of it. We had a show in like up north somewhere, maybe Oakland, maybe San Francisco. And it was a great show and it's packed. And you can see me and Exhibit and Sapir rocking on stage. And that was the first, Sapir popped up on us because basically we didn't call it Hype Man. Me and Exhibit both have record deals. And so if I had a show, he had a show. He was, you know, my single was Anything Goes. His single was Paparazzi. So if he had a show, I had a show. If I had a show, he had a show. And so he was going to be my second mic and do his single and vice versa. So we had this show. It may have been my show in Frisco. Sapir popped up on us and jumped on the stage and it just was natural. And I remember us being backstage afterwards, just kind of drinking, smoking, you know, just kind of, you know, relaxing like Miller time. I'm like, yo, it was a good show. And there's a lot of people back there. And I just recall somebody saying like, man, we should do this. Like, this is good. and everybody just agreed. So whether that was Exhibit or Sapir, somebody just was like, we should connect and have our click, and everybody, you know, the other members just said, yeah, man, I like rolling with y'all. This is dope.
Well, not to do a quick segue, but yeah, I saw that you just came off tour of Exhibit. So it's kind of cool. After all these years, you guys are still rocking together doing shows.
Yeah, man. It was a great experience. You know, we hadn't actually went out on the road for, you know, over 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that was really dope. I like what he's doing, you know, with Open Bar and James Savage, formerly J.O. Felony. So I just think he's got a great vision. The people, like, just the acts, like, everybody brings something to the table that's unique. It wasn't like cookie cutter where everybody's the same kind of artist. Everybody's really in their own lane, but really good at their lane. Mm-hmm. And it was really awesome, man. Like, just from a fan point, you know, a lot of times I like to watch shows just as a student, as a fan. And it's a great show, man. It was real.
I got to ask, do you still keep in touch with Sapir?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
How's he doing?
He's doing the best he can. Mm-hmm. He's in great spirits. You know, he's got spinal injury. So
yeah, sure.
I saw Saphir. It's been a while now. Last time I was in Oakland, I saw Saphir. And that was for High Road Day. So that's some months back, about five, something like that. Our buddy who's a dope producer, he's part of a dope producer clique, and that's very big in the Bay. The Mechanics, our homeboy, Forax, he's always over there. You know, he goes and cuts Saphir's hair. And there's a situation for Saphir, some business. So I had to call Forax, like, yo, that was Saphir, you know what I'm saying? I got this paper for him and da 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 da. So yeah, man, you know, just because it's not necessarily, you know, music, you know, I didn't come here to make friends. Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't really good friends in this business, but there's some people that I love, and whether they're rapping or not, I just genuinely want them to be okay. And Saphir is definitely one of those people.
Well, that's good to hear. You were talking about friends, and I got to ask you, because once this record came out, this particular artist had a lot of people hating on him. And ironically, you're from the West, and he took shots at Pac. So Riot with Chino XL, a fierce collabo. Did you have any clue that he was going to go like that at Pac? And because I don't know if you were in the studio together when you had made that, but
no, we were definitely in a studio.
That was some ripple effect shit. Because, I mean, here you are, a West Coast artist, and Pac was beloved. And he was just fucking relentless.
Governmentally engineered like Ebola for this rap garage sale. By this industry, I'm trying not to get fucked like Tupac in jail. You could hate me, but await me like a Magic Johnson's left in a box with Jordan's pops. That ass will never take another breath.
It's all fair in love and war. You know, I've listened back to some of the things I've said as a punchline. I was like, that could be hurtful, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so we all do it as lyricists because it's kind of the shock value of saying the line that nobody's gonna say. And so I don't incriminate Chino. It was a line. It was something that people speculated about, but nobody really had the heart to say.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he had the heart to say, you know, to say it as a speculation, as a punchline. I was in the studio. I honestly didn't know Chino like that. And so I was almost, you know, I almost kind of pulled out like, bro, I can't be on this record. because literally, you know, people didn't know that, but Money B and Shock G and all of them, that was my family. They showed me love mm-hmm. before a lot of LA dudes did. So I felt a lot of loyalty to them.
And he caught a lot of flack for that. So that's what I was wondering, because I know you're a Pac fan, you know, you're from Carson, you're from, you know, Cali. So there's some loyalty there. And I just didn't know if it put you in a predicament, if you will.
Well, you got to remember, man, like I'm on that song. So
I know.
When Machiavelli came out, you know, you got to remember he's just a Nas, he's just Jay-Z.
Yeah.
He, you know, like on the Mac, like everybody's getting it.
Bye, 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 let's get high and ride. Oh, how we do these niggas, but I'm not gon' cry. I'm a bad boy killer, Jay-Z got to. Looking out for Mob D, nigga, when I find you. Weak motherfuckers don't deserve to breathe. How many niggas down to die for me? Yeah, yeah.
Like, they just exhibit, bro. Everybody got it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's
you
true.
Know, got some of that dude that made paparazzi. If you in this for the game, if you ain't in this for the fame, then what is your purpose? On service. You know, so everybody got it. So I was just holding my breath like, oh, I'm so dead. Because I'm Exhibit's friend and I'm on the phone with Chino. I'm done. You know, but I think, and true to, at least for me, he always showed me love, Pac. And literally, you know, not a negative, nothing. Literally, after Rap Assassination came out, he called Party Records and asked for, like, I believe it was like 50 tickets to my show.
No
and
shit.
I happened to be there.
Wow.
And the owner of the company, like, you know, and we gave him the 50 tickets. And, you know, his people came. He didn't even show up. But, you know, his people came and it was love. You know, I mean, you know, he always showed me love. And I definitely escaped, you know, the drama by being attached to.
Mm-hmm.
It could have went another way easily. I could have been guilty by association easily on that.
Well, do you think that was also kind of during the time where it was more about competition and people didn't, you know, they didn't freak out quite to the level they would today?
No, I think he was on a mission, and if he felt like he was against him, he was going to get you. I think because of the relationship I have with Saphir and Money B and Klee and Numbskull from the Loonies and Yuck and Shock G, I think he knew, like, nah. He probably asked, like, what's up with Raz? He's like, nah, man. Because I'm sure I had told Money B and all of them, like, bro, I'm on this song, man. I ain't say nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't really like the line.
Not
but,
my fault.
You know,
not my fault.
I actually told the Outlaws, like, they came and told me, you know, out of friendly gestures. And not really the Outlaws, more the Rated R and them was Thug Life. So those were like my homies just in the streets of L.A. So, you know, it was dope. Like, they like, man, Pac and all, he didn't let Exhibit. I'm like, man, can you tell Pac? So I was kind of putting myself on the line, too. We were already connected through a lot of clicks on both sides of it. And I think he just knew, you know, I was a big fan and more in awe. Like I said, anytime I saw him, it was, you know, I was more in awe. He never gave me a negative energy. He's always love, like peace, and that shit. So mm-hmm. I can only say I never experienced those negative, those vibes. And I think if he thought I was trying to shoot a shot on the slide, I would have caught it too. Everybody was catching it.
Everyone.
I mean, Dr. Dre caught it. Everybody caught it. I'm like the only one that didn't catch it, to be honest.
Let me ask you about another relationship. You did a few joints with Coolio. You did Hit 'Em. You did Drama off your debut.
You know what's drama, but it sound real good. You know what's drama, but it sound real good. You know what's drama, but it sound real good.
You knew the game, and you still ended up on your back.
You know what's drama, but it sound real good. You know what's drama, but it sound real good. You know what's drama, but it sound real good.
You knew the game, and you still ended up on your back.
I tried you and I, T.Y., but why? Cause when I was lacking, bitches made me wanna roll over and die. So now I lie, cause bitches are like fly. They get tracked to the best shit. You gotta play Max Julian's role unless you plan on being celibate. Cause bitches want the money clip and whatever dick they comes with. Saw me in the Lex and didn't know it came from Avis. Now she's on the tip like my name was John Davis. And I'm knowing what she thinks. I'ma sweep off her feet because I bought the hoe a drink. Yeah, I'm living nice. Got a 2 o'clock flight to Atlanta
tomorrow.
So maybe we can kick it tonight. Right there, I knew my dick was getting wet. Cause I played into this bitch's Cinderella complex.
How did that relationship come about? I mean, I know he got down with Dub C, but I didn't know the connection between you guys.
So when I was younger and I had my first demo and then I went to jail, one of the main producers for me is a dude from Gang Leader. His name is Wino from 190, 190th Street, East Coast Crip. So Wino always believed in me and had my demos. That's how, you know, Mike Nardone and Sway and Tech would meet me, because of the production that Wino was providing for me in Battle Cat.
Gotcha.
And so when I went to jail, Wino, you know, my, you know, like a mentor and like a big brother, and, you know, I didn't gangbang. He was the gang leader, but I didn't gangbang. He just called something to me that I didn't really even see myself. And I would call, collect. That's what you would do. You know, you call, collect, and check in with your homies. And he was just like, man, you know, I linked up with Coolio, because I had like another year to go or something. I remember him saying, like, you know, I'm linked up with Coolio, like, you know, with WC in the Mad Circle, and I'm working on his music. I was like, oh, that's super cool. You know what I'm saying? He's like, but we ain't forgot about you. When, you know, just hold your head when you get out, man. Let's get to work. And, you know, true to his word, man, I probably had you know, another month or something. And, you know, he's like, we got a record deal. Like, it just was happening. You know, these things were happening. And I was like, oh, wow. And, you know, true enough, like, County Line was coming out. It was already out. I probably was still in jail. And, you know, I remember just, you know, Coolio saying, like, you know, I'm you dope. So when you get out, man, let's get to work. And honestly, I got out of jail and went on Lollapalooza with Coolio and Wino. He produced all those albums for Coolio, yeah. My homie Wino. And they pulled me right in, man. I cherish those people. They genuinely cared, you know. I don't think it's as much loyalty like that in this game no more. You know, a lot of people just take advantage of everybody. It's more like use and abuse. But I really have really good, you know, a couple of really good homeboys that wanted to see the best for me, you know. And that's why, you know, Coolio, because Coolio would have been, I was the underground kid. Coolio would have been the equivalent of Billie Eilish or something. He was like the most pop thing out at the time.
Not only that, Coolio, I've spoken to so many LA cats, and despite all his commercial success, Coolio was like the real OG. He's like the big brother to everyone. He's always looking out, man. And they've got mad respect for him. And I don't get it, because we only see, you know, what radio portrays, but they all love him, man. He's always done the right thing by all brothers and cats.
Yeah, he definitely did, man. So, you know, him and Wino, you know, they've always been, you know, just good people, wanted to see the best for me and gave me opportunities. They didn't owe me anything, especially, I had thrown my life away, or so I thought, and they were the lifeline. And, you know, how many people can honestly say, like, I went from a jail cell to, you know, on a tour bus, you know, running around with whatever rock stars. Like, it was great, man.
Well, that takes me to my next question. I mean, you've had a lot of success. I mean, going to, you know, going after Soul and Ice to Rast Assassination, I know initially, and I'm guilty of this, some of the people weren't fair with the album. Kind of like people are with Illmatic initially, and it was written. You know, it was written, was not Illmatic, but as years go by, you realize how great that album is. And I think I realized that later on about Rast Assassination. It aged gracefully, but it was such a good album lyrically that initially I didn't give you the kind of credit that you rightfully deserved. But having said that,
it happens.
Yeah, well, look, I know I can't be the only one who thought that initially.
Trust me, I caught flag. I couldn't win for losing. I've always had that career of, like, you know, I can't please everybody, and I do my best to try to make things that I think are cutting edge and using the resources I had, and, you know. But you can only try to give your best, and if that's not good enough to people, it's just not, man. You can't lose sleep about that.
So that album you had, Ghetto Fabulous, with Dr. Dre and Mac 10. I would imagine Mac 10 because he was a label mate on Priority. But Dr. Dre, I mean, that was a good look, man. I mean, that kind of really gave you radio play that you didn't really have before off the previous album, which propelled you into a different, you know, a different category, if you will, as far as rappers go.
Upper echelon, for
sure. You definitely had commercial success on that record, which is probably why a lot of people maybe had some pushback initially. But what I was going to say, because you were talking about, you know, Coolio and having successes, that record with Dr. Dre, when you put it out, did you know that it was going to kind of do what it did?
Once again, we tango for cash. Razz Cass, Dr. Dre, and Mac 10 connected. We ghetto fabulous, baby. The best food, drink, and pussy that money can buy. Every day of my life is off the ringer. That's guaranteed, like a fist fight on Jerry Springer. I got the hottest flow to hit the street since Lava. So holla, we all hustle for dollars.
Well, the reality is, I've always made records that I like. So anything goes, and marinating are those kind of records.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But we didn't have, like, we had what we had to work with. And we were using SP-1200s, me and Bird, and, you know, whatever. And so we didn't have the resources that coming in the second time. And literally the technology had changed. So everybody was really on NPCs, and, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the sound changed, and I was able to duplicate. Honestly, I always tell people, if you really listen to Soul and Ice and Rast Assassination, they're the same album. Literally, this is about four battle raps, two conceptual songs, three street songs, and like two fun songs because I'm dumb and I like to get drunk and mess with girls. So they're the same record.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm pretty much covering the gamut of who I am. That's who I am. The people that didn't buy Soul on Ice because it wasn't Sonic bought Soul on Ice because it was Sonic and Dr. Dre was replaced Coolio. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so the people, it's almost like two different people. Like, some people like Soul on Ice because it wasn't Sonic and it was grimy and it had that feel. And then we tried to master it, but then, you know, this is an era where, you know, it's shifting into the diamond D kind of, you know, cleaner samples. It's not the filters. Like, everything's got to get a little more Sonic and beat nuts, and the drums are really crispy. It's not Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang was 93. Now it's getting into a little bit more Sonic, digging into crates, really big drums. So I evolved with the era and gave the same things that I appreciated and then caught flack over it. And then honestly, about a year later, you know, Mos Def did Oh No with Nate Dogg, and it was cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's pretty hypocritical. You know, I wasn't hip hop because I used Dr. Dre, but Nate Dogg, but I'm a West Coast dude, you know. So there's always been that, like, you know, I'm too West Coast to be East Coast, too lyrical to be gangster, too gangster to be lyrical, too knowledge of self to be a thug, too much of a thug to have knowledge of self. Can't please people, man, you know. And I always said, you never did that to Mos Def. You never even did it to Common. You didn't do it to Nas. You didn't do it to Jay-Z.
That's true.
I just find there's a hypocrisy about what honestly, it's not no woe is me, but it was a big hypocrisy that would happen to me. Jay-Z got to do that. Biggie got to do it. Everybody got to grow, and everybody kept trying to force me to be this one thing.
But don't you think over time we go back to it and it's like, damn, he was on some shit? Because I can go back to all those old records that you did and say, why did I miss this? It was that good.
Well, Keith Murray always said this. He said, Brad, you're about 15, and this is Keith Murray. And he would say, you're like 15, 20 years ahead of your time. So I've just unfortunately been I'm just in a space where I'm still waiting for people to catch up.
Yeah, no, it's a hard place to be in, though.
Yeah, well, ridicule is the burden of genius. And so, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the smartest IQ and I'm, you know, I can fix your computer, but I don't know. I just think the way I talk about things and I kind of gave I gave an outline of self-deprecation, self-reflection, kind of street, like that would be duplicated by a lot of MCs after me. And some give me credit for that and some don't, bro. So that's good. I mean, you know, I help. And I'm still here. I'm not dead. And, you know, the other part, you know, what you do want is people to appreciate what you make, but I can't force people to do that. And so I'm just going to continue to create because for me, it's therapy anyway, and it's my first love. I love hip hop, and I do it because I love it. But yeah, I want to have a big, you know, I want a Maybach like Nas. I do too. I think I deserve one. Hmm. So, you know, of course. I mean, we want those things because they're an indicator. You know, I'd like to at least present a hip hop award, let alone get, you know, mentioned for one, because you want that acknowledgement for your hard work.
We all want accolades, that. Of course.
We all want that.
Well, not to pile onto your misfortunes, because I do happen to think you've done some amazing things that you're being modest, but I do want to touch on, before we go to the next subject, because we were talking about Dr. Dre and Ghetto Fabulous, you are a victim of two of maybe your biggest hits, or at least some of your biggest hits, having that beat being
used
released
by someone else.
By someone else. Yeah. Because I'm realizing as we're talking, obviously
beat.
Everyone knew about the Alchemist, but I'm realizing, wait a second, Been There, Done That is the same fucking track.
Cause I've been there, and sun that. Been there, done that, the aftermath.
Oh yeah, but that wasn't victimization. That Been There, Done That is, it goes into the Tango beat. So I was there with Dre.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know him when Been There, Done That came out. But when he brought me in, I picked that. I was like, I want that Tango part, because I would be in New York and I was watching people record it off of VHS, sample it, and freestyle on it on mixtape. But I wasn't a victim of that.
Okay, so
that
was me. Gotcha.
I was ahead of the curve. I was just like, I'm not getting it off of recorded off of BET or Rap City or MTV Rap. I'm getting it from you, and I want a bar. I want a rhyme on it. So that was me.
Gotcha.
The other one, Al, you know, he's on the
beat twice. Yeah, we know how it goes. It was ironic. Look, you've worked with everybody. You work with Pharrell. You know, I think other than like Planet Asia, I think no one's worked with as many artists as you have, like on the West Coast. I mean, Corrupt and 40 and Ice-T and KRS-One and Bun B and Onyx, Sean P, goes on and on. So I will say, out of everyone you've worked with, my personal favorite as far as chemistry goes back to you and Xzibit. And you guys have an arsenal of hits together.
Introducing the Big and Razzcast. We all know and love. Yeah. Let's bring it through, you know what I'm saying?
I drive European cars and smoke Cuban cigars. Bring the fat to your ear like Warman G's Kilo. And from B-boys to D-boys, it's like shipping keys from overseas. Please, I move MCs like OZ.
See, niggas from out of town don't even fuck around.
But there ain't no angle that you can strangle or sing.
Yeah, Hank, guns and girls, that's the way of the underworld.
Nigga, there ain't no angle that you can strangle or sing. See, left coast niggas is the craziest. I dodge shotgun pellets in the felonious law scandalous Golden State.
Interesting, okay.
Well, they're also like 1 and 2. They really represent LA's kind of real true school hip hop.
Look,
know what
when
I mean?
You when I hear that beat off Three Card Molly, I want to fucking bash a window. I want to break something. Like, but
yeah.
That was the goal.
Yeah, but
head slam.
But like, you and him seem to always connect, and it makes sense because you guys are touring together. Still, you still have that, you know, that rapport. Out of all the people that you've worked with, who do you feel like you've gelled with, the most? It's just instant chemistry.
No, honestly, every experience is new, and every person is different, man. Like, I wouldn't have wrote what I wrote if I wasn't with those people at the time in that vibe. So I think the music speaks. Like, there's a skit on Rap Assassination where I kick a girl out before. The song is Ice Age, and Corrupt's laughing because I just really did that, and he's like, "You're stupid." That wasn't like a skit. I'm really saying so. Those things wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't, you know. It's the organicness of being around whoever you're around, of where the creative process takes you. So I don't, you know, I'm definitely, you know, me and Xzibit make, you know, I think when we sit around and vibe out, and he's smoking, and maybe I'm having a drink, and we're talking about whatever we're talking about is going to leak into the verse. So that, you know, those things, that chemistry is natural, but it's the same thing with everybody else, to be perfectly honest. I just enjoy the journey of working with people that I respect. I learn something new. They bring that conversation, brings a different, like half, most of my raps are things that I said out loud while I was talking. And then I'm like, oh, that's how I really feel. I need to put that in the verse. That's, I write from my POV for real. And so being around other people is the best way to get those feelings out, because I'm not verbalizing them. I'm usually just feeling them. But when I'm around somebody and I express exactly what I think, it helps me, like, you know, it's almost like they're my therapist to help me write what I feel. And so, yeah, it just worked out well with everybody. But yeah, you know, Xzibit would definitely be, you know, an easy person to write with. Yeah.
Well, to piggyback off Jay's question, I mean, being that you and Xzibit share so much commonality in the styles and the way you guys do things, are there any tour stories or behind the scenes antics that maybe you want to share with our listeners that come to mind?
I don't have any right now.
How about
I'm
with Dre?
Square now. I have no, I can't tell any dirt.
Do you want him to get a beat again from Dre?
Yeah, I want to hear the.
You mentioned Corrupt, so I would be remiss if I didn't ask this. What happened with the Horsemen?
Oh man, honestly, you know, think about it, man. You know, EPMD broke up for a while, so it's really hard with more than one. It's hard as a solo artist. Mm-hmm. Definitely hard when you got two members. Four, it's just a lot of different personalities. So the first time we tried to do it, we got some traction. Then if you got the four people and synchronicity, then you're still dealing with you know, at the time we were all signed artists. We have managers and labels. And then those other people come in, and a lot of times they just sow discord, dysfunction, and they create problems. And so that's kind of what happened the first time. Somebody's manager, I won't name, who's created problems. Then our other homie leaked everything, but it wasn't even mixed. So that was that. Then we tried it again, and we had a great idea of what to do. And then another personality ruined that, and I just gave up after that. But overall, I love them. You know, yeah. I still, for the most part, I still do songs with all those people. You know, it's just, sometimes, honestly, Slaughterhouse did it, man. You know, they showed that if you can keep it together and get rid of the egos, there's strength in numbers, and they did that. And so, we had an idea that we didn't fully execute, and they executed it, and now Joe Budden, got billboards in Times Square and Don't Rap because they used their strength in numbers to get them to the next plateau of where they were trying to go. And, maybe I'll have another opportunity with some other people to do that. But I think the time for that is over.
So I've said you have a lot of collabos. Is there one in particular that stands out as your favorite? Like, for instance, I may say Ebonic Plague is my favorite appearance of you. But if you had to pick one out of all the ones that you've done, and you literally have, I'm looking now, maybe 50 to 100 different collabos. Which is the one that immediately comes to mind?
I'm gonna say this one, and then I gotta bust a move because I'm under the clock. You beat me over the head. But this is probably gonna sound overly obvious, but I'm gonna still go with Golden Child, man.
It's the RASKASS, eject the airbag, wreck a nigga Bubba West class. What's coming next? Let's mash. Get so high walking, I catch jet lag. If it ain't Hennessy and OJ, homie, miss me. Keep my hairline down to the Nike sign crispy. Spit beat strictly mini me Bin Laden's. Mixed with 16 men with life in the pen riding. Gangster, fuck how many records you sell. Get put on the missing milk carton and double XL. And it's nothing. Let's double the dare. Dick so deep down your bitch mouth, I come in the hair. Guns and ones in the air. Niggas with stripes, shooting kites. Posted on low rider bikes. Gat named Russell Simmons, God bless and good night. You done fucked up like Crip walking by Shook Knight.
That's what happens when you reach for what you can't fit. I'll be the wild golden child. Come on, yo.
Ask the crew if I'm nice.
I didn't know. I mean, yeah, Premier knew me, and I was acquainted with Premier because I was begging for a beat. Even before I got my record deal, because Wino and Cooley on them were all homies, and Dub C and MTA, they were all friends with Premier and Guru. So I was the young dude around that was a little spitter. And, it finally came to pass where, cause with Preem, like a year of waiting list to get a track, he'd just be busy. To prove I was one of the greats, I had to body a Premier record, especially as a West Coast artist. And, at that time, it was still at D&D. Preem told me this story about Biggie and about Nas. And, at the time, they were the only two that ever did a perfect verse on a premiere, like One Take Willie. And I won Take Willie. So on my first verse. So, yeah, to know, like, I was meant to be here. That,
that's special.
I can hold my head in the same esteem, no matter what, this industry tries to do to me. I know who I am. They can't take from me what I know I am. I'm one of the greatest.
Well, great story.
On that note, I will say thank you. That, by the way, that is one of those perfect rap records. I know you had said on Quali's show that New York State of Mind is your perfect rap record. Ironically, Premier. And I think you got a few of them, but that and Soul Nice Diamond D Remix to me is a flawless track.
That's
so,
a killer one.
Thank you. You got it. So look, I know you got some studio time. You gotta take advantage of. Thank you so much for giving us your time. We'll have to have you back on the show when it allows it. And so I'm gonna plug Soul and Ice 2 is out. The book is also out. You wanna let them know the website and how they can go about getting the book.
Well, the book is sold out. We did a second pressing. We sold out. So I don't know. Maybe somebody's selling one
online
or something. But we're done with the book for now. But the album is there. There's 8 billion people on the planet, and I know you guys have not heard it. Not all 8 billion of y'all, so go check it out. You know, it's, you know, there's some people that tell me it's my best work. I feel like we really, really gave 110%. And it's not over with yet, but I really stand behind this work. I think it's timely, and I think it'll still be timely in 10 years. So we shall see, said the blind man, as my grandma used to say.
That's a great record. Hey, I would love to hear another Apollo Brown record with you guys. I mean, that was another great one, too, that I think can definitely stand the test of time.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Well, shout out to Apollo. You know, we always say we're going to make it happen one of these days. So, we, you know, I'm still alive. So, knock on wood, hopefully I can stay alive to make that happen, too. I got some things in the works, but right now I really want to focus on, you know, just, you know, basically it's this is a grand reopening. Solo Nights 2 just dropped today, as far as I'm concerned. And I think, you know, support it, man. There's some really amazing records on that.
No, congrats with all is, that, man. For sure.
Congrats.
I'll let you know when the episode drops. And again, when you have more time, we'll get you back on for sure.
Let's do it. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for your time.
Be good.
Peace, bro.
Alrighty.
Peace.
Yep. Peace. Yo, what up, y'all? This is Raz Cass. You're listening to the Collabo Show on Take It Personal Radio 2020. Let's go. Begin last year. FNY, baby.
We hope you enjoyed our interview with Raz Cass. Thanks for listening to Take It Personal Radio. Be sure to listen on all streaming platforms or check us out at TakeItPersonalRadio.com. You can also connect to our Patreon account and show the crew some love. If you want to check out all things Take It Personal, be sure to hit us up or go to our website at TakeItPersonalRadio.com.